back in Woodmere, Nish Kodesh. So about a year and a half ago, Rav Weinberger used to give a Motzei Shabbos here for many, many, many years, and things were getting busier, so he asked me to take over the Motzei Shabbos slot, and I told him, I said, nobody could really fill your shoes in giving a shir, so how about we do a little bit something different? Maybe we'll do a Malav Malka in the shul, and we'll share Sipuri Tzadikim. So we thought it was a nice idea, and we've been doing that since, out of the past year and a half. And the Baruch Hashem, it's very nice matzav like this, pizza, sushi, singing, just like this, Baruch Hashem. And so tonight is actually the yahrzeit of the Shpola Zeida. Most of the Breslovers know the Shpola Zeida for his Isnagdus to Rabbi Nachman. But it's well known that the Shpola Zeida, the machlekis he made with Rabbi Nachman, was not anything personal. Adarabah, he did it in order to distract the Satan. You know, Rabbi Nachman has a Torah in the Likutei Maran where he says that when a big neshama comes into the world, so the tzaddik doesn't want that the satan should be makatrik. So a very great tzaddik will get up and he'll make kitrig against that tzaddik in order to protect him from the kitrig of the satan. Because the satan sees that the tzaddik could do a better job. Rabbi Nachman goes into the details of what that means. And he lets a tzaddik in the world make kitrig against that tzaddik to protect him from other kitrigim. That was the nature of many, many of the tzaddikim who made machlekes with Rabbi Nachman, the neshama which came down into the world. In fact, the Alter Rav from Stachin, he was a Yitzchak, he's called the Alter Rav. He once sent a messenger to Rav Lebelzer. Rav Lebelzer, tzaddik of the generation. He sent the messenger to the Belzer Rav, Rav Arla, telling him that I'll have to be mocked him first before what he told him. He's going, give me 1 second. So it wasn't that uncommon, yet it wasn't common though, that the Alter Rav would say like Lashon Hara about the Belzer Rav. And people were astonished, they couldn't take it that he would say Lashon Hara about the Belzer Rav. So he once sent a messenger to Rav Arla saying that, tell Rav Arla when you go to him that he has no better friend in the world than me. Because Rav Arla lived like a malach, he was mamash, he was higher than a malach, he was shalekevi oilem hazeh, mamash. If they have svarim now about his life, mamash b'detail, you can see about, it's unbelievable. Such a tzaddik lived in recent times like that. So in order to conceal and to hide the tzaddik, so he would say Lashon Hara about Rav Arla to spare him from other Lashon Haras. Akoponim, so the Shpola Zeida was a Talmud of Pinchas Karzer, but also he was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov in a certain way. The Baal Shem Tov made a Havtacha to the father of the Shpola Zeida, whose name, by the way, was of Arya Leib, Shpola. He gave him a Havtacha that he would have a child, and he told him that he would have the Neshama of the Maralmi Prague. And he had made such a comment along the lines of, he will grow up to be like Avram Hazak, like Avram Zakim Baba Yomim. And he was a Zakim. He lived many, many years, much longer than other rabbis did. And he, from there, he acquired the title of Zeida. There's another reason why he's called Zeida. That was the first reason why. Another reason why he's called the Zeida is because when he came to the city of Shpola, so there was mamish like chelm, like the mamish didn't know anything over there. Like he had to teach them the aleph beis, and he was everything. He was the sheichet, he was the rav, he was the malamit tinaikis, he was everything in the city. And over a number of years of him being machanech them and building up the city, so it became a well-known city in Chassidus. And because he was like a father to all the people there, so they wanted to call him Abba. And he said, can't call me Abba, ain't karen la'Abba sala shleisha. The Gemara says, you can only call Abba to three, Abba misakim Yaakov, so don't call me Abba, call me Zeida. So he called him Zeida because of that. But he was like a father, like a grandfather to the whole city. He was Isaac very much in Avos Yisrael, in Pidyon Shvuyim, and he was a tzaddik who gave all his money to tzedakah. Very hidden tzaddik. Very, very hidden tzaddik. In fact, it happened once that the Chayze, Chayze once asked in the middle of Tefillah, of davening, he said, I know the name of the Shpala Zayda, Ayalei, but what's his mother's name? He wanted to be Mespal for him. So the Chassidim, they started to laugh. The Chayzik sees from one end of the world to the next, and he doesn't know the mother's name of the Shpala Zayda. So they made a comment to push the buttons of the Chayz a little bit. They said, what do you think in Shpala, the Zayda's asking what your mother's name is? They made a comment like that. Like the Chepa, the Chayze. So he replied to them, and he says, do you have any idea who you're speaking about? He said once there was an Asifa in the Oilemus. All the Tzadikim, they went up to the Oilemus to have a meeting, right? We know what that's all about, right? Go to Shemayim, have meetings. So I said, I partook in that meeting. And all the Tzadikim were there, and we were looking around the room, and waiting for, where's the Shpala Zayda? Where's the Shpala Zayda? So somebody, I came back and said that the Shpala Zayda is still davening now. So should we convene? What should we do? So he said, no, we have to wait for the Zayda. Sometimes that's still davening. Finished davening. What's he doing now? He's giving out his tzedakah. He had a whole routine that he did. So Oidemus is waiting. Finally, the Shpala Zayda was about to come. And they announced the arrival of the Shpala Zayda. And the Chayza said, I can't even tell you, such a pachad overcame me, the Chayza said. He says that I was standing in my place and I fell over Merov Pachar. And he says, and still till today I have no idea what we spoke about at the meeting because I was in a Pachar the whole time. I didn't understand, I didn't hear anything which they said. And he said, you have the chutzpah to put my name in the same sentence as the Shpala Zayda. He said, the Chayza was the Chayza. That's what he said about the Shpala Zayda. He once said that all the gzeiris that Nikolai, the Kesai, writes in his room, I'm able to be mevatel them. He says it happened so frequently that they would write these gzeiris and he was being mevatel them that the Kesai, he wants to ask, like, how come none of our gzeiris are able to be niskayim? So the Yoyetzim were wise men and they said, well, that's because they find out about it. As soon as we talk about it, so they hear. They hear, because the pasuk says, "Va'oif Hashemayim yoyelech esakol." There's birds that they carry our voices, and they hear it and they mevatel it. So they thought that they had a good eitzah that they would start writing the gzeiras instead of talking them. So the Shpala Zayda said, "I had an eitzah for that." He says they may be wise enough to know the first part of the pasuk, but they don't know the second part of the pasuk. Zuval knafam yagedavar. So he says, "I know even the written word. I know also." So he was able to be mevatel the gzeiros before they came out. He was very oisek in that inyan of protecting the yidden and being mevatel the gzeiros. That's a very interesting maisa. The Klausel Magarebbe shared this maisa. He said that once, the Klausel Magarebbe once in Switzerland, and it was very late at night after taking fidlach, and he was exhausted for the day. So he shared a story about the Shpala Zayda. We'll see the reason why soon. There was once a pirate. Every good Chassid Shemaya says a pirate, and he was making zeiros against the Yidden. And he was once passing by the Shpala Zayda's house, and the Shpala Zayda came out to greet him. And he took out his handkerchief from his pocket, and he said to the pirate, he says, you want to see something fascinating? So he said, sure. So he took the handkerchief and he opened it up like this, and he says, look inside this handkerchief very carefully. What do you see? So he looked inside, and he saw his palace, or whatever his what he lived in, his big house. And he says, look a little bit more carefully, what do you see? I see the chatzar. And a little bit more carefully, what do you see? I see inside the house. A little more carefully, what do you see? So I see the galach. The galach who incites me against the yidden. And so I see that he's making an attempt to take his wife. So the Shpala Zayda says, so what should we do about this? Of course, the pirate was furious. He says, what would you do right now if you were next to him? So I would kill him. I'm almost killing him. He says, well, okay. He says, if you want, you could take out your gun and just point it right to his head over here in this handkerchief and just go ahead, take a shot. And he did exactly that. And he He ran to his home, ran to his house, and he saw that he was dead. That he had killed him. So when he found out, you know, that what had happened, he was mavata al the gzeiris against the Yidden. And so this is what the Klausner Magrib said about this maisa. He says, when we go up to the Olam Ha'Elyon, he says that for our maisim, whatever we did, maisim l'tayiv, maisim l'mutav, they're just going to pull out a little handkerchief and they're going to say, oh, this is, oh, show you exactly what happened. Meaning, even though it may have happened a long time in the past and you thought nobody saw, they're just going to pull out a little screen, a little handkerchief, and they're going to say, oh, wasn't it like this? Wasn't it like this? Wasn't it like this? That's what he took from that maisa, very big Moser Haskell from that. It's amazing sometimes what a tzaddik sees in a maisa. So, when he was three, or when he was the first time he saw the Baal Shem Tov, the first time he actually saw the Baal Shem Tov, he took a look at the Baal Shem Tov and he says, "That's the man with the stick," and then he fainted. And he fainted. So they woke him up and they asked him, "What was the pshat, the man with the stick?" So he says, "Before I came into this world, my neshama came into this world," which again, the Baal Shem Tov was responsible for that. So I didn't want to come into this world, which was very magushim. I wanted to stay up in Shemayim. Ahavtiyus Adayni. I didn't want to come into this world. And there was a big tumult in Shemayim that Ayalib doesn't want to come down. So all of a sudden, an Adam Zakin came to me with a stick in his hand, and he started to scream to me, and he says, "Look at all the tzaris which are happening to Klal Yisrael. How many nefashas are broken and downtrodden? We need good ben to be machazik them." He says, "You can come into this world and don't pay any attention to any of the gashmis in this world. Just focus your attention on Klal Yisrael and you'll be just fine." And he picked up his stick like he was going to hit me, and I got so scared that I came down into this world. So he said, the first time, and then all of a sudden I heard that there was a mazel tov and I was born. So he says, "Now that I see the face of the Baal Shem Tov, I see that he was the one with the stick, and he was the one who was the one who told me to come into this world." So not only did he give the bracha, but he was the one that was responsible for seeing all the way through that the Shpala Zayda should come into this world. He had said, the Shpala Zayda, that when I was three or five years old, it's not exactly clear, he got a bracha from the Baal Shem Tov. He says that he put his hand on my heart and his other hand on my head, and he gave me a bracha. So for the moment that happened, I had such a psichas alev, and my heart opened up with such a tshuka and avodas Hashem and avas Yisrael that I can't describe. And says it changed his life. He once said that he was on his way to go see the Maggid from Mezrich. He was also a Talmud of him. And there was a Baal Agala. There was a Yid whose Agala, whose wagon had fallen into the mud, into a deep pit, and he couldn't pull it out. So the Shpala Zeda was walking by. And he says, "Can you help me pull it out?" And the Zeda said, "I can't. I'm not strong enough to pull it out." So the Yid said, "Of course you're strong enough to pull it out. You just don't want to pull it out." That's what he said. And so when he heard those words, he came over and he said, I had a siyata d'shmai, and I picked it up and I pulled it out. So he took from there a very big Musar Haskell, obviously, that which he kept his whole life, which is that if a person thinks that he can't do, it's not that he can't do, it's just he doesn't want to do. Because if he wants to do, then he can certainly do. When he showed up to Mezrich, to the Maggid, as soon as he walked into the room, the Maggid said, "Such a person who's able to pull the agolas out of the dirt certainly should be a rebbe." That's what he said. And that was like his haskama. That was like his. He benched him that he should be a rebbe, and he should make his own chatzin. Once the Raditchever, he made an asifa of rabbanim. After Rav was there and others were there. It was about a certain aguna that the Shpala Zeta was matir, and there was big questions in halacha about the heter of the aguna. The Rebbetzin of the Baditchever had a very big haratza for and haracha for the Shpala Zeta. And she had a very big yiras hakavod for him. And when he came to sit down to be part of this whole meeting, he came in the middle, and he asked the Rebbetzin, "So Baba, what did you make for the Suda?" So she says, "Oh, don't worry, I'll bring out to you a plate of it right away." She says, "Don't bring me out a plate, bring me the pot. I want the pot." So nobody knows what was going on. So she brings out the pot. and he sticks his hand into the pot that he picks out, you know, like the actual, the bus or whatever it was, and he pulls it out and he says, Raboisai, is this kosher or treif? And he starts to show them, like there was a chashad, there was a, like a shayla in the busser itself, what everybody was eating, whether it was kosher or not. So everybody was taken aback. And he says, in the same way that I know about what's in this pot, whether it's kosher or treif, I know about the husband of this aguna, that he's no longer in this world, he's in the higher world already. So with that, he put an end to the whole discussion. He says, if I know what's in the pot, I also know what goes up there. Don't worry about it. I know everything. One last story. So the Zayda, he was once in a city where there was a Yid who was selling some type of a schayra, and there were some chayalim, some goyish soldiers who were there, and he reached into the whatever it was, the kufsa, whatever it was, and he took out the money from the Yid and he just walked away. And this Yid was, you know, very poor, and he needed that for his livelihood. And he went over to the colonel, whatever it was, the general, and he said to him, "One of your soldiers just stole my money." He said, "Which one?" He said, "I don't know." He says, "He blends in with all the other soldiers, and I know who he was." He says, "So what do you want me to do about it?" He said, "I don't know." So he said, and he went and talked about it with the Shpola Zayda. The Shpola Zayda said, he says, "You know how you'll know who took it from you?" He says, "If when you pass him, he's gonna grind his teeth like in disgust when you pass by. That will be the simon that he's the one who took your money." So he went and he told the general, "You know, if you line them up, I'll be able to tell who took it." He says, "Are you sure?" He says, "If you're wrong and you choose the wrong one, so then it's not gonna end well for you." But he had bitachin in the tzaddik that would be the right simon. So he lined them up, and sure enough, he passed by one of these Rishayim, the Chayolim, and he was grinding his teeth, and he says, "This is the one." So they started to investigated, and they asked him, and they started to beat him. He says, "Did you take it?" And he said, "Yeah, I took it. It was me." So he says, "So how did you know?" So he was a very foolish chassid, and he said, "Oh, I asked my Rebbe, and he told me the simon." And he says, "Oh, I want to see your Rebbe. Bring your Rebbe. I want to meet your Rebbe." So he told the Shpola Zayda, and he said, "Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I don't know what got into me. I told him about you, and now he wants to see you." So he said, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry. Everything's fine." He says, "Tell the general I'm not coming to him. I'm not coming to him." So he's very scared to go tell the general that he's not coming. And he said, "When you go to the general and tell him I'm not coming, tell him that I say that he should check his pockets very well. Check his pockets very well." It's okay. So he didn't know what the tzaddik wanted, but he had enough trust to follow through. So he goes to the general and he tells him, "The Rebbe's not coming. And by the way, he tells you to check your pockets." So he reaches into his pockets, pulls out a note in the pocket, and all of a sudden he commits suicide. And it doesn't say exactly what he did, but lihitaved, he just killed himself. So what happened? So what happened was that these soldiers were there, they were fighting some type of a war. And this general made a deal with the enemy that he took a bribe that he would give over all of the soldiers in exchange for whatever covet and money that he was going to get. And he would kind of like give over the victory to the enemy army. So he had in his pocket two letters. One letter that he sent to the army general, to the enemy, saying, "I've done exactly what you wanted to do. That my soldiers are yours and everything's going to be fine." In other pockets, he had a letter which was going to be sent to the Kesar saying, "We're doing a great job, we're going to win, everything's going to be fine." So he sent the wrong letter. He sent the letter to the general, he sent it to the Kesar. When he realized that it was already on the way and that was going to be it for him, so he committed suicide because he knew it was not going to end well for him. So the Rebbe said, check your pockets. the song, Hob Kasak, right? It was a Chabad Nigin. So that's attributed to the Shpola Zayda. There was once a Yid who was in prison, and in order to get out, he had to do like some type of a bear dance. They put on like a bear costume, and And so the Shvala Zeta made, he got the guard drunk and he went down and he put it on instead of the chaver, and he had a dance out with the guard, and mainly, so that niggin is a Shvala niggin. There's also another niggin apparently from the Shvala Zeta. But anyways, a very great tzaddik, a very hidden tzaddik, a very, very hidden tzaddik.